And it's not just about politics. This is not a political platform at all. What I am here to declare today, Lorianne sang, "If I could reach higher, if I can touch the sky." And I'm here to say today that you can, that we can, that I can. And it all starts with really knowing who we are, really knowing the truth of ourselves, and really knowing about the thing itself. Now, we are studying the science of mind, and this is our textbook. Of course, it looks a whole lot different from other people's perspective. And we are studying for this year magic and mysticism. And we see that evolving constantly by really knowing and understanding who we truly are. And Ernest Holmes started off the textbook by talking about the thing itself. What is the thing itself? What does it do? How does it relate to us? And then he goes on to talk about, you know, what it does, how it works, the way it works. So Connie started off last week about the thing itself and the light, and how it's absolutely just our basic core. It's the basic core, the love and the light of who we are. And I'm going to continue on that same level, but I'm going to read a lot more from the textbook today. I have documented significant parts of our text that you know, if you don't have a textbook, that's okay. You're going to find it in most of my talk today. But if you do have a textbook, you can go back and read the text on the thing itself. So, as I mentioned before, we live in a wonderful world, a wonderful time in the experiences of our lives to learn about this thing itself. What is this thing? You know, we are seeing barriers breaking. We are seeing hopefulness. We are seeing children wanting to reach and aspire. We are seeing gleam and hope in people's eyes. What is this? What is this change? And what is the origin of it? And as this is a time when promises of "I can" seems to be hopeful and real in our lives. So why is it happening now? In this time, in this place and time, it is history that is unfolding right before our eyes, with the election of an African American president. I mean, if we have to look back in history, obviously we know from where we came, in terms of depression, in terms of lack of freedom, which we call In most of us have called it slavery. Obviously, we can never, our own spirit can never be enslaved, but our physical and our mental have been enslaved over a long period of time. And so we are coming out from that. We are breaking the barriers of that with the election of an African American president to the highest office in the land. Maybe the highest office in the world. And literally, he's a world leader. And how much joy, how much exuberation did that instill in other people? I mean, it's not just an American idea. It's not something that is just happening here in America. It's happening all over the world. There is a promise of hope. There is a promise of change. There is a promise of goodwill. However we want to take it, where hope is, our hope may be so different from each other. And what we expect of in change could be so different from each other. But the fact is that there is an exuberance. Something more has come out from within us. And so we're going to explore that something more. Okay, history has shown how much our nation has healed. So what is this thing and how does it affect my living, my beingness, and even my doingness? This is a time in our spiritual lives when deep calls unto deep and deep answers itself. That's loaded. It's a time when our own selves are calling us forth. It's a time when the allness of who we are is longing to be free, is longing to break free. And it has the answer. Our own selves, our depth, our hearts, our core has the questions, pulling forth these questions, and it also has inclusively the answers in it. So spirit is unfolding every moment, and we are ready to listen and to be more and to be more of who we are. So consciousness is recognizing itself as its awesome potential, and that's who we are consciousness. It cannot be hidden from itself. We may think it's hidden because of the things that unfold in our everyday lives, because of challenges, because of things that fail in our eyes to be revealed to us. But consciousness is always about awesome potentiality. And so there are beacons of hope and fulfillment everywhere we turn in our country right now, despite the economic downturn. And that's amazing. Yes, we are focusing on the economic downturn, but it's almost like it's a little bit subdued, and change, and I can do all things is almost pervading the atmosphere. And that in itself is just a mystery. So why do we feel like this? And I think it is because of our deeper infinite self that is calling us out, calling us forth to come sit at the table and to partake of all the possibilities that is there. So this is the message that President-elect Barack Obama has given to a lot of people, whether his message is about change and changing the different courses of American laws or American or what we need to establish as a country. His ideals of change are in so many different aspects. However, there is just like that overall, that hopefulness. That hopefulness of change. And as I mentioned before, I see young children with eyes so bright with hope talking about their possibilities. I see black children stating assertively that they too can be the promise of tomorrow, despite what has happened to our foreparents in our yesteryear. I see white Americans joining hands and hearts with other fellow Americans and others around the world, be they white, black, Hispanic, Asian, everyone is just chanting a yes we can attitude. It does not necessarily have to reflect Barack Obama's policies, but it reflects that deeper, infinite part of us that says yes all the time. Yes, I can. So, I can is a very, very positive phrase. And a lot of the times when, personally, I am down, I just remember that within me, there is nothing that's called a loser. Or within me, there is nothing that can keep me down for a long time. And sometimes just uttering the words, I can, seem to put me on a different level. I may not be just out there and say, yeah, I'm joyful now. But it puts me a step higher every time that I look within myself and know that it's all up to me. I am responsible for my actions. I am responsible for what my manifestations in my physical life is. So when I tell myself I can, then I start to believe it and I get to a different level all the time. Until I'm at the point where, okay, so this is what I've put out into the law. and this is what I'm expecting. And that's a big place from being depressed or being in a fearful space to being believing and hopeful. So it's a very positive phrase, and our true selves really gravitate toward it because it holds the promise of so much more that is to be revealed. So yes, I can becomes yes, I can, because there lies in me a strength that is my fortress. So nothing can ever take a dream away from me. Nothing and no one except myself. So I dream. So in this, the rest of the time here, I will share with you about the invisible presence that enlightens our hearts and gladdens our spirit. It is called the thing itself. This is what Ernest Holmes mentioned. And I will state a quote from him. He said, the study of science of mind is a study of first cause, spirit, mind, or that invisible essence. It is the ultimate stuff and the intelligence from which everything comes. The power back of creation. All of this, what I've just mentioned, is the thing itself. So you pull whichever feels good for you. I like the invisible essence. I like energy. I like God. But you may want to say first cause. You may want to say spirit. You may want to say universal mind. However you see that allness, it is that creation, that power back of everything. So we accept this thing and we believe it and believe in it. So what we desire is to know more about it and how to use it. We know for sure that it is a definite principle we are dealing with. Principles are pretty abstract and are hidden from our eyes, but behind the scenes they are consistently being proved. For example, one of the principles obviously is the law of gravity. And so if you attempt to drop something, unless you're in a very controlled situation like in the rockets or space program, you drop it and it goes off or something, but that's controlled. The laws generally is what you put out there, that's what you're going to get. And so if you drop it, you expect it to happen. But when you drop something, you don't think, what law is operating here? You know, it's just a law that just comes right in from the time you make that action, that thought of doing it, the law takes over, and that's where we just let go. So the law takes it to where it needs to be. And this is basically what we are dealing with. Principle can never change. It's a law. Gravity will never ever change except when they have it secluded in with NASA or any particular type of program, or maybe on a different planet. I'm not sure what the gravity is up there. But I bet you their laws would be very consistent. So if these laws were unchangeable, principles can never change, for it is the law behind the thought, and this is what produces the tangible results. This is important for us to remember. So if these laws were unchangeable, then one person's prayer would be answered and the other would be disregarded, and that never happens. There is no favorites in this universal presence, in this invisible essence. Universal principles are never a respecter of persons. It has no favorites. So what it does for you, it will do for you, it will do for you. There are no respecter. It does the same thing. And as Revelation 22 stated in Ernest Holmes' Science of Mind, 22:17 says, "And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." So we see abundance in the universe. We cannot count the grains of sand on a single beach. The earth contains untold riches, and the very air is vibrant with power. Why then is man so weak, so poor, and so afraid? Science of Mind says that the divine plan is one of freedom. Bondage is not God ordained. Freedom is the birthright of every living soul. All of us instinctively feel this. This inherent nature of man is forever seeking to express itself in terms of freedom. We do well to listen to the inner voice, for it tells us of a life wonderful, of a love beyond our fondest dreams, and of a freedom which the soul craves. This love that we have, that shows up as freedom and as shows up as our dreams for a wonderful life, is the same love that God is the same love as the thing itself. There is no separation in our thoughts, in our dreams. It's just the one. It's all one. God is the invisible essence, and this invisible essence emanates as you. I'm going to continue to explain about the individuation of this essence, because we are all, everything is one. This entire, our entire being and our entire universe is one. However, we appear differently because we are individualized in the oneness. There is this huge subjective beingness, goodness, allness, and we chose to be individualized as us. Now, because we are here and we are individualized as us, doesn't mean that it's God and us. It means that it's God through us. It means that it's God as us. And this is really important, because there is no separation between God, the allness, and who we are. So recognizing this power as God, as your divine nature, is the truth of your being. So the simple meaning of science of mind is that it is the study of life, and it is the study of the nature of law. We must be conscious that we live in a spiritual universe. Even though we have tangible effects, we have results, and we have something that we can hold and walk and drive and sit under, and, you know, we have beautiful trees, we have so many beautiful tangibilities, if that's a word, I don't know. But it is a spiritual universe, because it's a universe that responds to our thoughts. And that is important. There are invisible laws that create our physical manifestation. Just like there's an invisible law that allows this to drop and just go where it needs to go, there's an invisible law that responds to our thoughts. So that is, these principles that bring physical manifestations to our lives are governed and directed by our thoughts. So we must think consciously. Ernest Holmes had mentioned earlier in it's on page 33, limitless power is at man's disposal. Man, by thinking, can bring into his experience whatsoever he desires if he thinks correctly, and I'll explain that, and becomes the embodiment of his thought. I'm going to read that again. Limitless power is at man's disposal. Man, by thinking, can bring into his experience whatsoever he desires, if he thinks correctly, and becomes the embodiment of his thought. And I mentioned, I would explain the if he thinks correctly, because thoughts are creative anyhow. However, if you think the way you want to see your life manifest, for example, if you want a home, you don't think, okay, I am putting my thoughts out there and I'm going to work on my thoughts, because that's not how it works. You put your thoughts out there and you leave it. There is a law that attends to your thoughts. There is a law that is a servant to your thoughts, and that is in the allness of it all. So you think of what you want. You need a new home, and I'm thinking of that right now for myself. I put it out there and I just let it go, because that's where everything ends, and that's where the law of love and law comes in. So it brings everything into your realization. And so that's why we must think correctly. We can think as a victim and say, I've been here for so long and I haven't done anything, I haven't achieved anything, and I could put myself into a victim state and say, you know, houses are just for the rich, or houses or loans are just for people who can really, really, really afford it, their credit is squeaky clean and all that stuff. I could put myself into that atmosphere, but guess what? That is improper thinking, incorrect thinking. Because if I put it there, guess what? The law is going to bring it into manifestation. However we think, and we have that drive, and we have that fire behind our thought, and it doesn't matter whether you think evil or you think good, the law brings it into manifestation, because there is a law that is the servant for your thought. And so basically, you want to think in alignment with greatness. Think of the divinity that you are. Think of the richness of the earth, the richness of the universe that you are. It is God. It is all there. Think about the abundance. Think about the beauty and joy. Think about the peace that occurs right here, right now. All because we are it. We are it. And so this is where our lives and our thinking unfolds, because of our thoughts. So remember that there is one mind, one subjective mind, not yours and God's. What we call our subjective mind is really the use we are making of the one mind. So we, each individual, maintains his identity in law through his personal use of the one mind. Okay? So to learn how to think, and this is another quote in the Science of Mind book, to learn how to think is to learn how to live. For our thoughts go into a medium that is infinite in its ability to do and to be. Man, by thinking, can bring into his experience whatsoever he desires, if he thinks correctly and becomes a living embodiment of his thoughts. It is not done by holding thoughts, but by knowing the truth. You hold thoughts, you will hold on to thoughts forever. But you know thoughts, and you know this is how it's going to work. You let it go and let God be. Let God be God by bringing physical manifestations into our lives. So as he mentioned, within us there is a creative field, which we call the subjective mind. Around us there is a creative field, which we call the subjective. One is universal and the other is individual. But in reality, they are one. There is one mental law in the universe, and when we use it, it becomes our law because we have individualized it. So do you kind of have an idea that although it's one, we choose to individualize it by our thoughts, and as a result of our thoughts and actions, everything else happens. The law comes into effect. So that's one of the reasons somebody said, maybe I should be satisfied with where I am. It's almost unrealistic to be satisfied with where you are. You can be completed with a project and feel good about it, but because of our constant expanding ability, remember, we are dealing with infinite allness. Because of that, we just have this constant urge to do more, to be more, to become more. and we can never ever get things perfectly finished in our lifetime, because it's not who we are. The truth of our being is that it's, there is such a depth to our beingness. We can never ever plumb our depths. And so be brave, be free, go for it. If you reach a point and you say, look, I got enough money now, I think I'm it, something else happens. Something else happens. Something else opens up to challenge us. Or we feel challenged to go somewhere else, to do something else. And don't be afraid to try it, because it's our nature. It's our nature to constantly expand. So go for it. And in trying to close everything down, because we're getting close to 12, I need to read this for you. So, do you know why you can never be satisfied with your present situation? And why we all always seem to want more, to be more, to do more? Well, the answer is, it is impossible, and this is another statement in the book, it is impossible to plumb the depths of the individual mind, because our mind is not an individual thing. How cool is that? Our mind is not just me here, right here. Our mind is deeper than that. Our mind is eternal. Our mind is everlasting. Our mind just continues to expand. It is universal. Our mind is not really individual, but rather it is individualized. And that's why we can give actions into the law and say, this is what I want, and just relax and know that the law is going to bring it to us. So behind the individual is the universal, and the universal has no limits, none. So it's this concept alone, in this concept lies the possibility of us having endless expansion. And this is why at this point in our history that an African American whom in past, and not only in America but in other areas of the world, have been so downtrodden and never thought of the day, I'm sure the foreparents have never thought of the day when an African American, guess what, born of black and white, wow, can arise, can be at the helm of power, the helm of possibilities, the helm of goodness for so many people. Barack Obama, to me, signifies a change, a season, and it signifies for me that I can do it all. And knowing what I know about myself, knowing the truth of myself, knowing that God in me, through me, as me, I am, I can, and I will. Mm. Thank you.